like to say good morning to Krishna Chandra Prabhu wherever you are. I told him I'd say that. He said, oh no, don't embarrass me. I said, now I will definitely say it. Because he listens on the air. So here we are again. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Vasudeva Uvacha. Shlaghaniya Guna Surair. Bhavan Bhoja Yashashkaraha. Sakatang Bhaganing Hanyat. Striyang Udva Haparvani. Shlaghaniya Guna Shurair. Bhavan Bhoja Yashashkaraha. Sakatang Bhaganing Hanyat. Striyang Udvaha Parvani. Translation. Vasudev said, you don't have to say that. I said translation, he said translation. Vasudev said, my dear brother-in-law Kanksha, you are the pride of your family, the Bhoja dynasty, and great heroes praise your qualities. How could such a qualified person as you kill a woman, your own sister, especially on the occasion of her marriage? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Vedic principles, a brahmana, an old man, a woman, a child, or a cow cannot be killed under any circumstances. I'm safe. You're just a borderline. But I'm safe. Under any circumstances. So no matter what I do, you can't kill me. Vasudev stressed that Devaki was not only a woman, but a member of Kanksa's family. Because she was now married to Vasudev, she was Parastri, another man's wife, and if such a woman were killed, not only would Kanksa be implicated in sinful activities, but his reputation as king of the Bhoja dynasty would be damaged. Thus, Vasudev tried in many ways to convince Kanksa in order to stop him from killing Devaki. Of course, none of these things are true, what Vasudev is saying about Kanksa. He is not great. He's condemned. I think in the previous Kanksa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty because he was envious and sinful. But here, Vasudev is saying, oh, you are the pride of your family, the Bhoja dynasty. Completely contradictory to what was said two shlokas before. But he was saying this in order to save the situation. Why save the situation? Because we have to keep Devaki alive so that she can have children so that Krishna can appear. That's why you would say, she is such a great personality and Vasudev is such a great personality. How is it that her first seven children were so brutally killed? It was to hurry up, hasten the appearance of Krishna. I often ask the question, why did Parikshit Maharaj not kill the personality of Kali? He was beating the cow and the bull. He was a horrendous looking thing, little short, barrel belly, much like some brahmachari friends of mine. But then, not that you're a hideous creature, and killing and beating and beating and beating a bull and a cow. Why did he not kill him? I often ask that question. He should have killed him. That was his duty. But of course, Kali was very clever. He surrendered to Parikshit. But the real reason he didn't kill him was because the Kali Yuga must be established in order to bring on the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Kali Yuga is going to happen anyway, inevitably. So whether he tried to stop it then or he would have to stop it later, it's inevitable that Kali Yuga is going to happen. And all of us condemned souls are going to have to take birth and be persecuted by the three modes of nature and the configurations in terms of adi-devic, adi-atmic, and adi-bodhic miseries. We're just miserable. Yesterday I was watching, I was looking out my window, I was listening to a class of Prabhupada, and I was looking out the little window at the tree, and then suddenly something caught my eye. There was this teeny, 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 teeny little spider. Happy as, I got my glasses and I live practically microscopic, swinging back and forth on his thread. I got my glasses and I looked up close and he was happy and little legs and just running up and down his thread. He was hanging on a thread and swinging back and forth, happy as anything. And I was saying, amazing that in that little teeny, practically microscopic body, there's a living entity same as me. You got little legs and everything. They cannot invent such things. Little heart, little eyes, little legs, and happy as anything, swinging back and forth. And he could fly up in the air. I shouldn't harass him. This morning I pulled back my curtain, and where's that little spider? Dead. He was lying on the sill, dead. But day before, he was happy as anything. But anyway, condemned, Kali Yuga. Everyone's thinking they're happy, even they're in anxiety. They're thinking they're happy. You know, in the West, and probably now in India also, all these people, they're harassed by all of their electronic toys. And they have to work now. You used to go to work at 9 o'clock in the West and you'd quit at 5 o'clock, you go home. You put in your 8 hours, they call it. 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. With an hour off for lunch. Or 45 minutes to an hour off for lunch. That was your day's work, you were done. You could go home and enjoy your family and have your dinner and do whatever you do. Now, they go home, they're harassed. They go home, as I was saying, and they're all anxious. Oh, a bus went off the cliff in Peru. 20 people were killed. Ooh, like I have to know that. Like it matters to me in Australia if a bus goes off the road in Peru or Uruguay or Kazakhstan, or, everything is anxious. It just makes you anxious. You don't have to have that information, but when you get it, ooh. Or your boss is calling you at 8 o'clock at night. Well, what about this? And what, like me in Ambarish. He calls me 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Or I call him. What about? We get anxious. Everyone is always anxious, but they're anxious due to the wrong thing. What is that? Cheto darpanam marja, the full nectar, full purnamrita svadanam, sarvatmanam, param vijayate, the full nectar for which we are always anxious, or we should be anxious, but we're not. I heard a class this morning, Prabhupada said, to become siddha, to become Krishna conscious, takes thousands and thousands of years. I'm sorry to have to tell you, but that's what Prabhupada said. However, doesn't matter. Look, you're all happy, you're all joyful, you're all dancing. So if you have to do that for a dance around like that, jump up and down, chant Hare Krishna for 1,000 lifetimes, what's the loss? Because it's the same thing you're going to be doing in Goloka. Dancing, chanting Krishna's name, chanting Krishna's glories. The trees chant Krishna's glories. The grass chants Krishna's glories. The cows chant Krishna's glories. The cowherd boys, everyone's chanting Krishna's glories. Same thing. It's just a little nuisance from a material body, but that diminishes. So there's no loss, even if it takes thousands of lifetimes. That Lord Chaitanya also says. What is the in the Sikshastakam? I can't remember offhand. Huh? Mama Janmani, thank you. Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavadad Bhakti Rahaitu Kita. Lifetime after lifetime, I don't mind. But all I want is your devotional service. Then I can face anything, even the demons. Here, Vasudeva is a devotee. But he's trying to protect his wife. And he has to deal with this great demon. Biggest demon. So he has to use a little bit of diplomacy and deceit. He has to lie in the service of Krishna. Yudhisthira wouldn't do it. He was too pious. He hesitated. I heard a class. Prabhupada said he was too pious. When Krishna ordered, you lie, he hesitated. Oh, how can I lie? Boom. Of course, Yudhisthira is Krishna's dearmost devotee. But the example, he was setting the example. You can be too pious. When Krishna orders, you must do. Even it appears contradictory to all Vedic injunctions. Because after all, Krishna is those Vedas. Vedayas chasavar ahang eva vedyo vedanta krid vedavid eva chahang. I am known through the Vedas. I am those Vedas. Isn't it? So if Krishna says, and it appears contradictory to the Vedas, that's all right, you do it. If Krishna says kill that woman, then you do it. Even though the Vedas say you never. If Krishna says kill that old man, don't do it. No, you do it. Whatever Krishna says to do, you do. Because he's Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not a cartoon character. As I said the other day, Putana is actually 9 miles tall. That's inconceivable to us. But there are people, I know, I saw in the newspaper some years, there's a man in China, he's 8 foot tall. There are men who are born a little teeny men, 2 foot, 1.5, 18 inches, fully grown. So things which are inconceivable, they're there. So what is the problem that someone 9 miles high? All even inconceivable things can happen within Krishna pastimes. He's not a cartoon. What was the name of the snake? Agasura. It was so huge snake. Prabhupada told me once that there is a snake. He said, its mouth was in Calcutta and its tail was in Hyderabad. It went under the ground. And then he said to me, I have seen. He said, again, another time, he said to me, the planets are connected by ropes of wind. He said, they're connecting all the planets, ropes made of wind. He said, when I was in Switzerland, he said, I saw. He said, I saw a mountain 100 miles high. He said, I saw the ropes of wind that are connected. I saw. He said, there are yogis at the Kumbh Mela. They dip into the river up in the Himalayas, and boonk, they come up at Prayag. So there are many things which are beyond our puny brain's ability to understand, but they're still real. So there's no use trying, oh, yes, no, yes. Everything is possible, even koalas in Goloka. There's so many things that we have not experienced, but they still exist. I was smelling this flower, beautiful flower. I never knew of the existence of such a flower until I came to India. It was still existing, even though I had no knowledge of the beauty of the, what is it, champa. When I came to India, here's something new and wonderful and marvelous, and the scent, extraordinary. But all my lifetime, sophisticated life in New York City, I never had any experience and had no knowledge of such a flower. But that doesn't mean it didn't exist. It's existing. So there are so many things which are beyond our comprehension. That doesn't mean that they're not real. They're real. How do we know they're real? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is saying. And not only that, his devotee is saying. Shukadev is saying. Is it, what is Shukadev's life dedicated to making up stories? Cartoon writer? He's not a cartoon writer. He's not a movie script writer. He's speaking the absolute truth. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He's speaking the absolute truth. He's not making up stories. Sometimes I find it very hard to believe that God himself was here only 500 years ago. My knowledge of 500 years ago is, Michelangelo, the Renaissance, Da Vinci inventions, you know, great, the Renaissance in Europe. That was my knowledge of 500 years ago. So that, for me, that was very conceivable. But that God himself was here in a village in Bengal 500 years ago? How am I supposed to believe that? It's hard for me to understand it. So how do I understand it? Because Rup and Raghunath and Sanatan and Gopal Bhatta, they say so. What, the six Goswamis going to make up stories about some wondrous golden complexion personality? They're not here to make up stories. And even closer to home, Prabhupada says. So these great acharyas who have taught us that you're not your body, who you are, how your body transmigrates from, how your soul transmigrates from body to body. These are scientific explanations. And then suddenly, what, are they going to make up stories? They're not storytellers. This is not Aesop's fables or, no, this is absolute truth. So this actually happened. Krishna actually appeared. My point is that these great acharyas and great sages, they're not making up stories. This is the absolute truth. Like I said the other day, Hanuman actually was real. Of course, he's a very popular cartoon in India, is Baby Hanuman, right? Very popular on the television. But because he's popular on the television, little cartoon character, doesn't mean that he wasn't here. And you better be careful because, you know, Hanuman, he's no baby. Even Bhima, what is it? The tail, he couldn't move the tail. Hanuman's tail was so blocking the road. Hey, move. Bhima, powerful. It's like Nirjal Ekadasi, you know, don't mind, but everyone, oh, Nirjal Ekadasi. Nirjal Ekadasi, I'll tell you quite honestly, I don't follow it. I can hardly follow my dear friend Ambarish. What do you always say to me on Ekadasi? I don't know what it is. It's very hard for him to follow Ekadasi. He gets tired. Nirjal Ekadasi was meant for who? Bhima. Carried his whole family on his shoulders in the forest. Mighty, mighty Bhima, performer of Herculean tasks. You know Hercules? The mighty strong man of Greek fable. Bhima is called the performer of Herculean tasks. So he couldn't follow Ekadasi, he had to eat. All right, one day a year you just don't eat and don't drink any water. Not that you shouldn't try and follow Nirjal Ekadasi, but I don't. I don't even bother, because I know what I'll do. I'll lay down in bed all day and get a headache. That's not Krishna conscious. Oh, but I followed Nirjal Ekadasi. That's not following Nirjal Ekadasi. You chant Hare Krishna all day and don't eat, and that's good. But most of the brahmacharis end up lying on the floor, oh, my head, oh. But anyway, if someone can do it, that's good. Point is that even, of course, Krishna's preparing to appear. Vasudev, this great personality, and very austere. And he and his wife, Devaki, are going to have Krishna as their son. Imagine what great personalities they are. Even he's lying a little bit. Don't kill your sister. You are such a great person. You are the star of the Bhoja dynasty. If you kill your sister on her wedding day, you'll get a bad reputation. He already has a bad reputation. Ferocious. But he's buttering him up because he doesn't want him to kill. And he doesn't want to have to fight. He's a big personality, Vasudeva. He's a Kshatriya. He could fight him. He even allows himself to be chained up in a jail because he knows Krishna's going to come and kill. That's Krishna's leela. He's going to come and kill this Kamsa and kill him good. What is he? Punched him in the chest, right? When he came in, pulled him off the throne, punched him. Boom. Punched the life right out of him. And all the devotees, they underwent so many difficult things. You ask yourself, they're the best friends of Krishna. Why? How can they get sent to the forest? How can Yudhisthira gamble away his whole kingdom and his own wife? How could he do that? How could he? And then they get sent to the forest for 12 years. Such difficult, and had to meet so many obstacles and so many demons, and have to live. They're Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas, of course, are very powerful, but they're used to Kshatriyas. They're kings. They're used to opulence and wearing bark. How could such a thing happen to Krishna's devotees? People question. Prabhupada said, many people, they don't want to worship Vishnu because Vishnu's devotees are not opulent. They're generally poor. No offense. But Shiva's devotees are opulent in this world. So And Prabhupada told us that story on the roof. We were walking around, all the devotees, on the lotus building. Krishna with his eight arms, when he wants to take from you, what are you going to hold on? What are you going to hold on? He's got eight arms pulling everything, takes everything from you. You can't. No. Krishna takes with his eight. But then he, when you become his pure devotee, he gives with eight arms so much you can't even hold it all. But that requires, to get that, requires, not that that should be the goal of our life, to have Krishna give us, but that is only when you are a perfect pure devotee so that it doesn't bewilder you. Like Prabhupada had so much opulence, but he was never bewildered by it. First, Krishna took everything from him, took his family life from him, took everything from him. Prabhupada tried. Prabhupada was very astute in business. He was a very astute businessman. He was very intelligent, massively intelligent. He just couldn't succeed. And he was wondering why Krishna wouldn't allow it. In order to bring him to the position where he went as a humble servant of Krishna on the boat, the Jaladut, heart attack, so many obstacles. But he committed. Totally committed, and then lived in such terrible situation on the Bowery, 2nd Avenue. Yeah, Logan. In New York, you never went to the Bowery. It was even a song, the Bowery, I won't go there anymore, because it was the downfall of so many people. And they would end up on the, it, at one time it was like the nightclub in the early days in New York, the nightclub section, the saloon section, the prostitute section, and then gradually that moved uptown. But and then all that was left were the drunks. The Bowery, you end up in the Bowery. You be careful, you're going to end up in the Bowery, she said. That meant you were a bum, a Bowery bum. Did your mother ever use that expression? A bum on the Bowery, lying on the sidewalk drunk, drinking cheap, passing urine in the doorways. Of course, in Bombay or Calcutta, that's not unusual, unfortunately. But, you know, Prabhupada lived there. Then 26 Second Avenue. It was not very teeny. Not big. You could put the whole building inside this room. But then gradually more and more came. But it never, ever, ever affected Prabhupada's goal to spread Krishna consciousness. He was never deviated by money or opulence or creature comforts. Unlike me, who I got deviated really, and I got blasted. Krishna took everything. He took my wealth, he took my reputation, he took my looks, he took my influence, he took everything. But fortunately, just by good fortune, he blessed me that now I can do what he wanted me to do. Because all these other things were a distraction from what Prabhupada really wanted me to do, which was to help build the temple of the Vedic Planetarium. That's what he wanted me to do. Develop Mayapur and build this temple. But all these other things, guru and worship and this and that, it was all distractions. It bewildered me from what my real duty was, to build the temple. And now I have no old men, they worry, oh, you know, security, and I have no worries for that. I live simply, you know, I'm not bragging, believe me, I would love to live opulently, but, you know, by the tricks of fate, I'm now in a situation, but I can live with it. I cook myself, I clean my own apartment, I do my own laundry, I do everything myself, and I'm very happy. I have no servants, thank God. Right? I can walk anywhere at Mayapur. There's only one other man I know who I've seen at Mayapur, who walks without a whole entourage. And that's Radhanath Swami. He likes to walk around Mayapur. No one would, just himself, walking along. Maharaj, where are you going? Oh, I'm going up to visit this so-and-so in the Grihastha section, you know, walking along the road. No one with him. That's freedom. Not a long line of, you know. That has its place also, but Radhanath Maharaj, he's able to walk. I said, no, sir, where's all the, no servant? I'd like to move around myself. Anyway, so many things will happen to us in the course of our life. Not only this life, next life, next life, next life, next life, next life. We don't mind. None of us here mind as long as we are able to chant Hare Krishna. Demons may come. Demons come, demons go. Afflictions may come, they go. Everything comes, everything has a time span, and then it disappears. The life has a time span, may cause you, may have your body may cause you so much difficulties. You can be sure, you are assured it will pass. Nothing is so major that it cannot be solved by chanting Hare Krishna. Now that is the solution for everything. So here, the solution was Krishna himself. Hasten the appearance of Krishna, so he'll deal with Kamsa. He'll deal with him in the best way. And how does Kamsa live his life? He's the big, powerful man, king of Mathura. How does he live his life? In fear. Always fearful of who? Krishna, 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 Krishna. Where is he? When will he come? Ooh, I must kill him. Go and send Agasura, send Putana. Kill this baby. Kill this little child, kill this young boy. He knew. And when Krishna came to Mathura, oh, he sent an elephant after him. And Mushtika, and what's the other one's name? I keep forgetting. Charuna. Charuna? And Mushtika. Big wrestlers to kill him. No one could kill him. Krishna and Balaram. And then Krishna pulled him off his throne. Boom. Punched him to death. Isn't it that how he killed him? Punched him. Boom. So you have to face so many obstacles. But Krishna, he conquers everyone and everything. If you take shelter of him, you are assured. And you're able to deal with the afflictions because you know that those afflictions are coming upon you by the desire of Krishna. Someone once asked me about astrology. I said, listen, when you take initiation, you are no longer under the influence of the stars. Otherwise, I'll take initiation from my astrologer. What's the point of taking initiation from Prabhupada if my astrologer is going to tell me what to do? You come under the direct control of Krishna so that anything that happens to you is happening by the will of Krishna. They say, wear this ring and this and this and this. I only wear it because it's pretty. It's an excuse to wear a little bit of jewelry. I still have some, you know, desire for sense gratification. I only wear it because it's pretty. It's not as pretty as his. The other night I had a dream. I was telling Radha Jyoti, I had a dream. I was showered with emeralds and rubies. Nice dream for me. I woke up feeling really good. But anything that happens to you, it is not dictated by the stars, not when you're a devotee. Therefore, you're able, you know that it's being directed by Krishna, you're able to tolerate it. Because you know, my master, the Supreme Lord himself, This is happening to me by his desire, therefore let me accept it. Kamsa couldn't deal with that. Devotees can deal with that. Yeah, it's nice. Krishna consciousness is really nice. Right? Things aren't always going to be, ooh, every day, happy, happy, happy. Some days you're going to feel a little down. Some days you're going to be not well, feeling not well. That's the nature of the body. Some day, but you know Krishna is, this is under, let me just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Enechi Oshod Maya. The medicine. This is the medicine. Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Nam Maha Mantra Layatumi Magi. I have the cure of all for all ills. Take this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's all we do. We chant Hare. People think we're crazy. Therefore, Prabhupada wrote that book. Who's crazy? You think I'm crazy, but who's really crazy here? Anyway, Krishna is the source of the Vedas, so even though the Vedic injunctions may state certain things, if Krishna tells you different, you do it. Are there any questions? Any questions? Going once, going twice. Thank you very much. You're all going on a big parikrama tomorrow, is it? Don't forget Krishna. You're going to see Krishna, so make sure when you go to see him that you're in the proper consciousness. You have to wait in a long line, right, Tirupati? Sometimes you have to wait how long? 12 hours sometimes, but it's worth it in the little room. They push you. All right, next. But anyway, even to get a glimpse of the Lord is, but here, same. Here he gives himself freely. You don't have to wait in line for 12 hours. Isn't it? This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. This is the mercy of Prabhupada. They've made arrangements that Krishna is freely available to receive your darshan. Of course, Prabhupada did say, the purpose of darshan is not for you to see the Lord, but for the Lord to see you. There's a difference. He's looking. Who's here? Who's not here? Where's Radha Jyoti? Where is he? Where's Gauranga Priya? Where's Gauranga? Where is Gauranga, by the way? Where is he? Cooking khichdi? Oh, he went to the farm. Nice farm. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Right.